Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, his friends, his family, Chap Oscar Smith, his friends, his family. And we all want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, our family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Folks, welcome to the show today about Holy Week and Passover. Rabbi Joseph Potasnik and Chap Oscar Smith talk about these extraordinary holidays. Both of them fall together each year because their dates are based on a lunar calendar or a calendar based on the orbit of the moon rather than the sun. Christians around the world celebrate Holy Week, a series of holidays that lead up to Easter, and the same week is important for Jews across the globe who are celebrating Passover. From major gatherings to small family traditions, billions of people mark these religious holidays every year. Rabbi Potasnik is the executive vice president of the New York Board of Rabbis. Chap Oscar Smith is the pastor of Gratitude Life, a church without walls, meaning all faiths are always welcome. So join us today as we celebrate this extraordinary time. And one sad note before we begin the celebration is to acknowledge what was in the news yesterday, which was the fire at Notre Dame. Over to you, Rabbi. Why don't you start?
Well, thank you so much, and it's an honor to be with you as well as with Champ Smith, and I'm very intrigued by a house of worship without walls, because one of the things we have learned is that we need to include one another. As I think back to the Passover Seder growing up, we always had the nuns of St. Mary's Church of Lynn, Massachusetts, sitting at our Seder because they were the ones who reached out to my family, in addition to others, but they were the ones from the Catholic Church that reached out to my family to help them rebuild their lives, to begin life again after the horrific Holocaust. So finding room for the other, as my mother always taught me, there's always room for one more person at the Seder table. No matter how many you have, you can always find room for one more. So a house of worship without walls is a message that resonates for all of us. Looking at this tragic fire in France, I will say this. To see firefighters risking their lives to save a church says much about the commitment of first responders to preserving that which is holy. I can tell you that in New York, when there is a fire in a synagogue, firefighters, most of whom are Christian, rush into the synagogue to save Torahs, holy scrolls. So the idea that one is ready to give his or her own life to preserve a religious edifice, a religious scroll, is something that speaks volumes about commitment of these heroes, these angelic people who say, not only am I my brothers and sisters' keeper, I'm my brothers and sisters' savior. So we are very, very blessed to have them. And luckily, nobody was seriously injured in that fire, but I saw scenes of people weeping as they saw this magnificent edifice collapsing in front of them. And I said to you and to the chaplain before we went on the air, it should say to all of us that we have special reverence for our own faith traditions, but when we see what goes on to someone else's faith tradition, we have to be sensitive to that pain as well. We have that human bond that unites us. Looking back at the creation of the world, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, so we all have that same spiritual birth certificate from the very beginning. There is this unity of spirit. We can have diversity of thought, but there is a unity of spirit that we need to celebrate. So having Holy Week, where you have Good Friday, Easter, Passover, all coinciding, is a message that we are different and we are the same simultaneously.
Yes, you're so right, Rabbi. I know how I feel when I go to St. Patty's Cathedral in New York as a Jewish person, but when I'm in there, I have such respect and high regard and such appreciation of the church and the religion and all that it embodies. So your message is right on.
Well, just think of some of the tragedies that we witness of late. You had the horrific slaughter at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. What happened after that slaughter? People of different faiths came and stood in solidarity with members there and said, "We stand with you. You are not alone." Think of Pittsburgh, Tree of Life Synagogue, horrific slaughter there. What happened? People of different faiths stood with us. Think of Christchurch, New Zealand, the mosque, the horrific murders there. People of different faiths stood with them to say, "We are with you." Here in New York, for example, when the murder took place at the mosque, we formed a protective ring around many of the mosques here. Jews and Christians stood saying to Muslims, "We are part of the community, you are part of our community." And you know, after Charleston, after Charlottesville, there were Christians who stood in front of the synagogue forming a ring and saying, "We will protect you against these hate mongers who seek to destroy you and all that is precious amongst all people." I know we can look at the news and be depressed, but we also can look at the news and be uplifted. But thankfully, we are surrounded by people who care. I always feel that goodness outweighs evil. There are many more decent people than indecent. And I just think that we have to at least convey to our young people this message of hope that I heard Cardinal Dolan say many times, Christian life didn't stop with Good Friday. We have the resurrection. Jewish tradition didn't stop with the enslavement in Egypt. You have the liberation. So we have to focus on that which is positive, not that which is debilitating. And I think when you look back at history, there are many, many reassuring moments of people who really were there for us and with us and continue that spirit to this day. So we can't allow hate to define who we are. If all we do is focus on hate, then I can see young people saying, why would I want to be part of a faith community where the focus is only on the negative? We need to be positive. So it's a tragic fire in France, but look at the response to the tragedy. That has to be very, very uplifting to many of us who care about one another.
And I just want to mention, if you folks are wondering how you can make a difference, they are accepting donations from all over the world to help rebuild. And some of the richest people, the family of Bernard Arnault, CEO of LVMH luxury conglomerate, the richest man in Europe, pledged to give up $226 million. Henry Pinault declared that his family would dedicate about $113 million to the effort. I tell you this because from the extraordinary amount in a pledge to your $5, truly everything does make a difference. And for those of you who say, well, what can I do? How can I make a difference? Just sending in a pledge towards the rebuilding would make a difference.
Well, I find very often people who ask, what can I do? Do nothing. And people who ask, what else can I do? Do something. So I think all of us have to be able to look in the mirror and say, I was there. I helped do as much as I could. Look, when there was a fire at a synagogue here in New York not that long ago, members of the LDS, Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, came forward and said, we want to contribute to rebuilding of that sanctuary. When there was a fire at Central Synagogue in New York many years ago, Cardinal O'Connor came forward and said, we're opening our churches in this area to say, you have a place here. You want to conduct services? You can use our buildings. So the idea of responding to the tragedy of another is very, very important, because we need to have this kind of respectful, reciprocal relationship where we support one another. I've often said one of the most important words in the English language is and. It's you and I. It's they and we. As a matter of fact, the middle letter of the Bible, of the Torah, is the vav, which is a conjunctive. It means and. We have to be connectors. That's what we're about. Chaplain Smith and his work connects people. We like to do that here in New York. I have to tell you that I made a call immediately to Cardinal Dolan to say, look, we in the Jewish community, we want to respond to the Notre Dame tragedy as much as we can. We need to say to one another, we are all made of that same sacred fabric with the image of God, and therefore we have to make a commitment to support and strengthen the other, especially in times of need. You know, when things are going our way, well, you know, it's very easy to be to happy and smile. But when people are really down and debilitated, we need to see what we can do to uplift them. Jewish tradition says, don't wait till a person falls down before you support that person. Don't wait till a person is indigent before you give. Help the person when the person just begins to fall, at the very beginning, or even better still, try to be preventative. Try to do as much as you can to have this kind of spiritual safety net so people know that should anything happen to me, I can rely on those who are going to be there for me.
Rabbi, I think it's pretty wild that of all times that this could have happened, it happened with the advent of Holy Week and the onset of Passover. How can you connect the extraordinary fire to the extraordinary message of Easter and Passover?
Well, I think if you look back at our holidays, our holidays are not just filled with happiness, but they're filled with sadness. You know very well that when we sit at the Passover Seder table, we talk about our liberation. That was a happy moment. But remember, there were hundreds of years of enslavement. During that enslavement, people were persecuted. People died. We even talk about the Egyptians who lost their lives in the Exodus. You know, we have this custom of taking a little bit of wine from our celebratory moment and reducing the amount of wine in the cup. We spill a little bit out to say, you know what, our celebration is lessened by the fact that Egyptians, who were our adversaries, we still remember them as human beings. I'll never forget an experience I had years ago of conducting a Passover Seder for representatives of the United Nations. Sitting directly in front of me was a representative from Egypt. And here I am, the Passover Seder, talking about the plagues visited upon the Egyptians, and I have an Egyptian representative sitting immediately in my presence. And I said to him, I said, let's just stop for a moment. I know this is a painful moment. It's painful for me to talk about Egyptian life that was destroyed. It's painful for you as a member of the Egyptian family to hear about it. But there's one thing that we ought to recognize, that yes, we were adversaries years ago, but today we're allies. Egypt and Israel, you and I sitting in this room at a Seder, let's not just remember the tragedy of the past, but let's remember the triumph of the present. So again, I think our holidays have tragedy and triumph in the story itself. I think that Notre Dame will be seen as tragic and triumphal at the very same time.
Absolutely. And when we look back at the history in both the Christian faith and the Jewish faith, there was just overwhelming amounts of tragedy and persecution. So the question is, when will it ever stop? Will it ever stop? When will we have had enough?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned to you that the rabbi of the synagogue in Pittsburgh, where the murders took place, Rabbi Jeffrey Myers, had this interesting observation. He said, when we said never again after the Holocaust, did we say it with an exclamation mark or with a question mark? And I think so far we've seen the question mark, never again, but we see again and again. I don't know if it will ever stop. All I know is I have a responsibility to do what I can to diminish it in the part of the world where I live. I need to form coalitions of people who respect one another and who will be there to give to one another, especially during difficult times. So whether it's Chaplain Smith who's going to be with you today, or myself or anybody else, we may not be able to save the world, but we can save the corner in which we live. And maybe more people doing that together will make a bigger difference in the world. I think, you know, you have a choice. It says the eyes are composed of two parts, the light and the dark, but you only see out of the dark. I think there's a lot of darkness in this world, but, you know, you have to be able to look out and see the light and love that permeates the world as well. So Notre Dame is a lesson. Good Friday followed by Easter. The Passover enslavement followed by the freedom. You have to look at, you know, page two, not just page one. Because if you only look in the newspapers at page one, you're going to be very depressed. But if you turn the page, you may see some positive stories that will give you some kind of resilient spirit, which all of us of faith, you know, have and need to convey to others as well. I often, when I visit people in hospitals, I find that those who know that a community of faith is praying for them, is thinking of them, is visiting them, it has a most beneficial impact on recovery. People, it has been confirmed in studies, people do better when they are connected to one another, when they're connected to a faith tradition. So, again, let's convey a lot of the positive stories. 9/11 was a horrific day, but the response to 9/11, those who came forward and spent days and months at Ground Zero searching for colleagues, searching for body parts, and then finally rebuilding, that came about because of real human bonding. So, again, you can see devastation, but you can also see dedication. And I think we need to be cognizant of both those themes as we celebrate our respective traditions.
What's very scary at present is the statistics on anti-Semitism are going through the roof. 2018 now, it's just very, very frightening what's happening all over the world. And I wonder why are they always after the Jews specifically, when the Jews have made worldwide contributions in every field, in health, in science, in everything, and yet there is so much anti-Semitism. I wish someone can answer the question, why us?
Well, if you look at the right, they say Jews are aligned with the left. If you look at the left, they say Jews are aligned with the right. It's something that seems to go back to the Exodus. When the Jews left Egypt, the statement in the Bible is that there was anger, there were walls on the right and on the left. And someone pointed out the word for walls and the word for anger are very similar. So there was anger on the right and left. And sadly, the Jew has always been the canary in the coal mine, that, you know, they attack the Jews, but you know, it starts with Jews, it doesn't stop with Jews. And we're seeing a rise in hate against many other groups as well. So one cannot just look at this and say, well, that's a Jewish issue. Because you look at the Christians being persecuted around the world. Horrendous tragedies. I was talking to a member of the Coptic Christian community, and he tells me, you know, what's transpired in Egypt over the years and how people, while they were praying in churches, were brutalized, were murdered. So this hatred, unfortunately, is something that permeates a lot of hearts, but I'd like to think that the response to hatred is something that should be very reassuring to many of us. Again, don't just look at the act of hatred. Look at the act of love that combats that hatred. So you have a choice. You know, you can see whether the glass is half empty or half full, or you can, you know, look at it and say, you know, cup runneth over. Yeah, there's a lot of pain out there, but there's a lot of real courage and conviction by people who want to make this a better world. You know, I see young people who are going to Israel in Birthright, the Birthright program, who are saying that we want to learn more about Israel. I see Christians going to Israel saying we want to learn more. So I like to focus on, you know, what brings us together. I can tell you this, anti-Semitism is not going to destroy the Jewish people. I think what is much more dangerous than anti-Semitism is apathy. It's people who simply don't care. We are living in a very assimilated world, and when I see the rising numbers of people who don't go to houses of worship, people who are not connected to their particular faith tradition, that to me is extremely alarming. So I wouldn't use anti-Semitism as the catalyst for commitment. That's not going to bring us closer.
Absolutely right. And I'm reminded of this by Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And I'm reminded of that all the time, because we all really have to embody each other, like you say, and support each other. Voltaire said every man is guilty of all the good he did not do. And Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. So that's my message for today. Whatever you can do, whatever step you take, it does make a difference.
Look, I read letters to the editor. I make it a business reading different papers, but I always read letters to the editor. And I'm always very, very disappointed by the number of letters that complain, by the number of letters that criticize. Now, it's important to voice concerns, but my God, aren't there some good things one can write to the editor as well? One of the things you learn in life, you travel around the world, you see all kinds of statues. There is no statue ever erected for a critic. You know, it's easy to be a critic, but to be an author, there you deserve a statue. They deserve commendation. So I'd like to see people offer some letters of positive view. Your program that I've heard so many times doesn't just talk about tragedy. It talks about hope. It talks about optimism. It talks about people who get along with one another. You have Father Brian McWeeny of the Archdiocese who comes on, talks about his interfaith. You have, you know, Chaplain Smith talking about his bonding with other people of faith. You're one who promotes that understanding. So you can't, I used to, when I was in law school, I was taught, never drop your briefcase and run when you're in the courtroom. Fight the case. Represent your client to the best you can. And always be positive. So, you know, we are, people who are religious, I think, are prisoners of hope. We believe that, you know, after you taste the moror, the bitter herbs, you know, you taste the charoset, the sweet mixture, and then you have the meal. Don't just stop after the moror. And I find there are people who are so embittered, that's all they taste. They never look to enjoy the sweetness. So we have to do what we can to promote it, to emphasize it. We have to be advocates, you know, of hope in our world. And maybe we'll find ourselves in a better place. I still say this. Passover is about freedom. And one of the messages is that you have to be free in terms of be yourself. You don't want to be a clone. You don't want to be dominated by someone else. Thankfully, we live in a country where you and I, where Chaplain Smith, we can celebrate our different celebrations and not fear that someone is going to come in and destroy us. Years ago, Jews would hide, especially on Good Friday, because they were accused of deicide, of killing Christ. That doesn't happen now in our country. Thankfully, we live in a very free society. Yeah, we have the hate mongers, but they don't rule the day. They don't tell the entire story. So, again, it's a message of freedom where we can celebrate our diversity in a country that respects difference, at the same time asks that we find commonality in one another.
And you referenced Father McWeeny, who I met through you, and we became very good friends, and he's a major supporter of this show as well. He's doing the show on Friday, on Good Friday, to talk about Good Friday and Easter and all of that. So here it's like the busiest day for him, and he always makes time for our show, as you do as well. But your relationship is certainly a role model, brothers in faith, and you do so much together, so many speaking engagements together. How is that like for you? Why specifically him? And how is that relationship a role model for everybody else?
Father McWeeny has dedicated his life to being an interfaith bridge builder. I come from a family where, as I mentioned earlier, nuns from the church reached out to help them. I believe that in this world, if we're going to travel together, we have to travel safely, we've got to travel together. Let me tell you one particular site in New York that I think warrants mentioning here today. If you're traveling on the Belt Parkway in Brooklyn, you come to an entrance to the Verrazano Narrows Bridge that connects Brooklyn to Staten Island. When you begin traveling up the road to the bridge, you look to the right, and there are faith chapels, different faith traditions. You say, wait a minute, I'm just about to drive on the bridge, and I have this vision of faith chapels looking me in the eye. What does that say? If you're going to go on that bridge, you better go on that bridge and learn that you have to be on that bridge with people who are different. There are separate lanes, but then there comes a lane where all of you have to travel together. So this idea of multi-celebrations this week, I think God is going to be exhausted in the next week from all the, you know, different prayers being offered. But look at the beauty. Look at the beauty of how all of us, you know, I just think that Passover has a message for us. Good Friday, Easter has a message for us. It's a message that's predicated on hope. You know, we may taste the bitterness today, but there's sweetness tomorrow if we just hold on and do what we can to make this a better place for all people, not just for ourselves, but for others who are with us. Mother Teresa said, the trouble is we draw circles that are too small, where only people who we agree with can can be in this circle. We have to enlarge the circle. People we disagree with us, people who are different than us, if we enlarge the circle, I think we'll be standing in a place that is far more beautiful than if we just limit that space. So I thank you, Joyce.
Wait. You gave us the message of Passover and all of that. I would like to hear your personal message as a rabbi, what you want to leave our listeners with.
Well, let me just tell you that yesterday I officiated at a funeral of someone whom I married not that long ago. What makes it unique was I married him at the age of 100. He was 100 years old when he got married. It was his second marriage. His first wife died. He married at the age of 100. And yesterday he died at 101. And I said to the people on Passover, what do? We have the maror, the bitter herbs, and we dip them into the haroset, you know, the sweet mixture. When Shakespeare wrote that parting is such sweet sorrow, I think he plagiarized it from the Passover narrative, the Passover Haggadah. In life, there's going to be sorrow. You know, Shlomo Aleichem says, you got to make the best of life, even if it kills you. So all of us taste the sorrow of life. It's inevitable. But I think we also have a responsibility to bring as much sweetness as we can into that table, into the mouths of one another. So yes, sorrow, but remember sweet sorrow. And I think if we really look carefully, if we really live with hope, there's much more sweetness than there is bitterness.
Great
Joyce,
message,
I thank
and I'd just like you to conclude with your prayer. I always have you end with a prayer, so please do that.
I think back to my mom. Whenever we would begin the Passover Seder, and the first thing we do when we begin the Seder is we say, let all who are hungry come and eat. And I would say to my mom, isn't it a little bit late to invite people to the Seder table? We're just going to sit down now, and now you say, let all who are hungry come and eat. Shouldn't we have done that before? And she said, we did it before, but the message here is it's never too late to do something nice for someone who needs strength and support. So let us always say it's never too late to help. It's never too late to give. It's never too late to support one another. We will find if each one will respond in a positive way, all of us will be strengthened. You'll be strong, I'll be strong, and together we'll be strong. And that, I think, will make it a sweet Passover for the Jewish people. It'll be a sweet Easter for the Christian people, a sweet Ramadan for the Muslim people. Let us all find sweetness in our traditions and bring that sweetness into the celebrations of the other. Nuns did that for my parents years ago. We can do it for one another.
Rabbi, thank you so much. We really value having you on our show. I value you in my life. You're extraordinary. We love you. Thank you so much for making time
for us.
Well,
thank you. Thank you for
thank you for all
you do. And Chaplain Smith, I just want to say thank you to you, because there are a lot of people who seek to hurt, and there are many more people, though, who seek to honor us with their great work, and you're one of them. So we're very, very grateful that we have people like you in the world. You have a sweet Easter as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi. God bless you and yours. And folks, before I turn the show over to Chap Oscar Smith, who is an extraordinary chaplain and pastor, let me share with you why you should be listening to our show every day, not just today, not because it's Holy Week. We have amazing people each and every day with a great message. And here in the words of our health guru is why you should be listening, Beverly Nadler.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you join us in this endeavor to be number one. Simply go to JoyceBarryAndFriends.com, and on the whole page on the upper left, you will see my picture. And right under that, it says follow. And simply by clicking on follow, you'll know about every show, every guest, every topic. We have world-renowned psychics, astrologers, business leaders, five-star authors. So we do invite you to become a follower. And while you're at it, you can follow yours truly, Joyce Barry, on Facebook, on Twitter, B-A-R-R-I-E. And we post the shows there as well. So please do become a follower. Become one of the thousands of loyal listeners. Because my promise is you will always derive value from our show, since that's our intention, to make a difference in your life. So, as I say, we're celebrating Passover, we're celebrating Holy Week, and just a quick shout-out for a happy Passover to our friend Irene Asheray. May you have good health, long life this Passover. We're always thinking about you. Okay, Chap Oscar, as I had mentioned earlier, he's the pastor of Gratitude Life, a church without walls, meaning all faiths are always welcome. And that's how he makes everyone feel. He's always welcome in my personal life. He's been a major support for me. And on the show, he's always there, never declines an invitation to come out and speak for us and with us. Chap Oscar, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, Joyce, I am totally, totally humbled. You know, Rabbi Joseph, been my friend for 10, 12 years. I just can't tell you how prophetic and profound actually what we've just heard. We actually heard a comforting message, but a profound hope in these perilous times, Joyce. My God, what a presentation. What a word from the heart of a mighty man of God. He's a commander in New York, you know, his position, but he's always so transparent. He's a rabbi's rabbi.
Yes, he is. Extraordinary. And many people know of him because he speaks globally. He's amazing. So he's very renowned, and yet he took time for us today. As the executive VP of the New York Board of Rabbis, it's one of the largest economical divisions for the Jewish faith. So it humbles me to pull you in, to pull him in. Father McWeeny on Friday, the busiest week religiously, and there you are on our show. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, you know, there are endless examples in God's word of God's presence. And we mentioned the tragedy in Paris with the Notre Dame and all of the history. But, you know, Moses knew it would be useless to attempt anything without God's presence. And so today what we have, in the midst of Passover and Easter, and like you said, Joyce, Holy Week, we are given an opportunity to hear God's voice. And that's really what it's about. God wants us to know his voice. And there's so much schism with all the religions. My God, now listen, I'm from New York. I understand that bridge. I understand the parkway. I know exactly what Rabbi Joseph was saying. I've been on that a million times. And he's so accurate in his description, all the faith. At the end of the day, we all got to come through that toll.
Yes.
We got to go
through
that
together. The two of you together, what a team you two are. As I said, it's humbling for me to connect you, and it's humbling for me to see the people who always say yes to participate in our show, no matter what their schedules look like. Certainly you're one of them, because I go to you a lot. So let's get to Holy Week. First of all, is there any message with this Notre Dame thing? Because I look for the good in everything. I look for the message in everything. I believe there's a reason for everything. So is there anything further you want to say about that before we move on to Holy Week?
Well, I was just devastated yesterday. I didn't know whether it was terrorism. I didn't really know much. I've been to Paris several times myself. Unfortunately, I've never been to the Notre Dame. I've been to Eiffel Tower, been in a lot of hotels, been on tours and stuff, and going to other cities outside of Paris. But it's such a historical landmark. I can just say I just my heart goes out to the ones that are immediately pledging funds to restore that edifice. I mean, I just think that's incredible. But, you know, Joyce, we have a profound connection between Easter and Passover. And, you know, one of the reasons why the juxtaposition with a rabbi and a pastor, it's all about, you know, God's government. And that's what we want to touch on today as well, where we have an understanding of what Passover is and what there really, really is. And, you know, Easter, the word Easter comes from the German language, and it means new life. And, you know, when we hear Passover, we're talking about new life. And I think Rabbi really today brought it all together, and it's important that we hear God's clear voice at this hour and don't get it complicated with religion and ideology. At the end of the day, we all have to cross that bridge called death and end of life. And then we need to understand at the end of the day our commonality as the human race.
Yes, and the thing that gets me through thinking about that is just to say that death is not an ending, it's a new beginning in another world, another... and from what I hear from people that have passed over, like Dr. Eben Alexander, a world-famous neurosurgeon who's been on our show, who's written books on that, the world out there is a good world, and a world where you transcend illness and stress and all of that. So you have to look at it, and the transition is not a bad thing, but the next thing in our transition.
Well, you know, Joyce, I have celebrated more than a few Passover meals. I understand the Seder. I understand the significance of the blood of the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb. You know, I understand that. I mean, I grew up with a lot of Jewish friends. You know, I always tease Rabbi Joseph. I always, you know, mention to him Yiddish Cup. You know, I just good yumptor.
That's
you
funny.
Know,
yes, for those who don't know, that means Jewish head, Yiddish Cup. Go ahead, Chap Oscar.
Yeah. So you know, we have to understand that right now, the celebration of a shared meal is very significant. What he did today was he actually broke bread with us. I mean, I'm still spellbound by his capacity to the world of the endless examples of compassion from all different religions and all different relationships. I mean, Rabbi, he's in New York City, so, you know, even this wedding, marrying somebody 100 years old, and then a year later doing, you know, doing the funeral, I mean, he's got a rich treasure trove of history with relationships with other people. And I just think today, as we celebrate Passover and Easter, I'd like to see us all lay down our weapons and our swords and our positions and our dogma and come under God's government and God's glory at this hour. It's important.
And Chap Oscar, I know your heart broke when you saw the images from Paris, as mine did as well. But I'm looking to see what value could we get out of what is happening right here, right now. You know, the taking the lemonade from the lemon, what would you want to say about that?
Well, the Notre Dame, what I saw yesterday, could have been devastating for a people that has no future. But that's not us. We're not in bondage to the enemy. We know the enemy had a role in that. But, you know, our Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, rabbi and pastor, we live under a bold promise, and we have to believe that we have eternal life, and that building will be restored. But the honest approach is that we all have to look at the symbol of that Notre Dame and what it represents to us as a world. I mean, that's a landmark that goes back, I believe, to the 13th century, Joyce.
Yes, that is a landmark for sure. And whatever it is they salvage, it is a blessing. All right, let's talk a little bit about Easter and how strong these holidays are this Holy Week.
Well, in the New Testament, because, you know, I understood today, you know, Rabbi Joseph was going to have an opportunity to really share from his heart. And, you know, one of the things that I would like to bring out, and I think he would be honored that I'll bring out the peace, and that's the relationship between Passover and Easter and how they're tied together. You know, Jesus enters Jerusalem and gathers his disciples to celebrate a Passover meal. And so we can start to see some commonality. We can start to understand more of God's voice when we understand the Bible. So many people don't use the Bible as their frame of reference, but, you know, Adam and Eve, God has been speaking to man since the Garden of Eden, Joyce. And so we have to understand the first five books of the Bible. We would not be good, born-again Jewish citizens And that's what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become born-again Jews. We wouldn't understand our Genesis if we don't understand the Old Testament and Old Testament covenants and promises. And, you know, even in the Garden of Eden, Adam heard the voice of God. And we have to hear through the appeal you're hearing from a rabbi and a pastor today that God wants us each to know his voice. He wants us to know his voice. We talked about, you know, one of the things Rabbi Joseph brought up was the medical community. And I've participated in, I can't even remember how many symposiums with the medical community and the relationship between prayer and healing. And it is important that we have people praying for us when we are dealing with different medical situations. The power of prayer is incredible.
I want to also say, besides the major religious observances, many communities treat Easter as a time to come together and participate in family traditions. Towns and churches all across the country organize Easter egg hunts where children can search parks or neighborhoods for brightly colored eggs. And I mention that because we were talking so much about sadness, tragedy, Notre Dame. I wanted to bring some light into the conversation as well, because it is, after all, a celebration.
Well, it is a celebration, Joyce, but, you know, for me, we don't have anything to do with rabbits and eggs or anything. We actually honor the blood of the lamb that, you know, the Jewish, our Jewish brethren and sisters honor the Passover Seder. But we actually, in the Christian term, Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of the people of Israel. And Easter celebrates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it has nothing to do with rabbits and eggs and stuff. I mean, you know, that's not... That's not.
No, I get that. I just wanted to bring some show where there's some joy and fun, even in, you know, even with solemn, very solemn things.
Well,
so that's,
you know,
why I
Easter,
mentioned that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know, Joyce, but I'm just saying Easter is a springtime celebration of life to a lot of people. I mean, even people that are unchurched. I mean, Easter's just a spring celebration, and I mean, I think it's wonderful that people can go out and celebrate the spring, the equinox, all the other things, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals to us God's favor on the sons of Adam and the triumphant love that he has for all of his children. Because, you know, there's such a schism. Well, and you mentioned it earlier about anti-Semitic, Semitism. You know, when you really look at the barriers that God's children set up, there is a breaking down of walls and a building of bridges that Pastor Rabbi Joseph spoke to today. And we have to embrace that. He set anyone that listened to this presentation today, he laid down a challenge for us to come together under God's government, irregardless of our religious persuasions. And that means Muslims, that means Jehovah's Witnesses, that means Buddhists, that means all types of religions. We have to come over that bridge where we're hearing and attaching ourselves with the reality of of Easter and Passover and resurrection into a new life. That's what he talked about today. That's the meaning of Easter.
Yes. And there's Lent and giving up something. Anything you want to share about that?
Well, I have a friend that has, for Lent, he's given up TV. I have various friends that have given up all kinds of things for Lent. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I can tell you I've given up a few things as well, but I don't want to discuss them on radio.
That's okay.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make is you don't give me up or this show up. That was the point I did want to make. So I really appreciate you, Chap Oscar. As you know, what message do you want to leave our audience with today?
Well, I do want to, I don't know, Joyce, we tend to think of slavery and injustice, you know, as a person of color. I you know, Rabbi Joseph's message coming from New York, being a native New Yorker, I mean, it just penetrated my heart. And I'd like to encourage all of us to celebrate the resurrection of people, of cultures, and get away from all this drama of injustice and slavery and oppression and things that are going on. And all of us come to a community where we are not enslaved anymore, that we can have the freedom of hearing God's voice. That's my takeaway today.
Yes, and what is your special personal prayer for our people?
Well, today, Joyce, I'd like to, in light of you giving me a tremendous opportunity to share in such a phenomenal show, and who could have who could have predicted, you know, Notre Dame, seeing that last night so vividly. You know, I was watching parts of it live, seeing that edifice on fire. But today I offer a prayer to God, and I thank God that, you know, that edifice, Notre Dame, is going to be restored. I honor seeing another Passover, another Easter. And I just celebrate my life, your life, Marsha's life, all our listeners' lives, and the many gifts that we share. And, you know, I just appreciate this opportunity when we come on, when I come into the radio station and see what's going on. I could just say that there's a sacrifice that you make 5 days a week, and Rabbi Joseph pointed to it as well. So I really want to cover you with prayer and be grateful to you, Joyce, for being a person that has sacrificed your life to bring these types of programs to the world 5 days a week. It just brings a tear to my eye, the sacrifice that you give to make these types of shows available to the world.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And folks, you can do your part too, whatever that is. And the question I ask of you, if not now, when? Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation to get healthy and off that medication to get wealthy? It's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not, now, when? Again, Chad Bosco, very grateful that you took the time in your busiest week to be with us here today. A reminder, folks, that we have a wonderful show on Easter and Good Friday, on Good Friday with Father Brian McWeeny, who that's like his busiest day, and he never says no to our show, so we're very grateful for that. So, folks, go out, do a random act of kindness, pay it forward, pay it backwards, treat people with kindness and respect, treat them the way you want to be treated. And folks, we want to invite you to laugh along, sing along, and dance along with us. And you can do that starting right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mass. Let me just say happy Passover, happy Easter, a happy life. Now let's bring some joy and happiness to it.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.